Welcome to Heartspeak Podcast, episode 115. We are seen, we are known, we are loved.
Welcome to the Heartspeak Podcast, where valuable insights are shared that bypass the mind and resonate with the heart. Listen, open your heart, become inspired, find the joy and fulfillment that awaits when you follow your heart. And now, here's your host, Dr. Christine Page.
Welcome to you wherever you are in the world today. We're heading for this great conjunction on the 21st of December, and I hope that you've been looking up into the sky just after sunset and seeing as Jupiter and Saturn are actually getting closer and closer together. This is an event we haven't seen for 600 years, so please, if you do get a clear night, look out into the sky. And I'm noticing how many people around me, and maybe that's true for you, are lighting up their homes, lighting candles. We've seen more beautiful decorations around where I live than I think we've ever seen, because everybody wants to see this new light entering the world, entering humanity, bringing light to ourselves as everything's got a little serious. And if you are interested, I'm going to be running a masterclass with the College of Psychic Studies on the 21st of December. It's via Zoom, so anybody can join. And that's my way of meditating, bringing the light in, sharing some of my teachings, but also joining with others around the world. Others of you may be doing meditations, working with these energies of Jupiter and Saturn. And it's certainly a good time to do this, because things are ending. And as we spoke about last time, new things are beginning. I saw the passing of a dear friend and a very honored friend and mentor to me, Rose Perry. I think I was just very fortunate to be able to call her my friend. And she taught me so much in the short time that we had together. But I always felt Rose's presence. And Rose was a tohunga in the Maori tradition in New Zealand. And what was amazing about Rose was that she could recite 250 generations back, ancestors. For me, I had trouble remembering the names of the last two ancestral groups. But this was part of that tradition, that oral tradition that the Hawaiians have as well, other traditions have, that if you know where you've come from, you'll know where you're going. You know who you are. And Rose was one of the most amazing women I met. She's very strong, very compassionate, very wise. She shared the wisdom teachings of her people and very humorous. She had a great sense of humor. And Rose said to me that she would be the last of the Tohungas because it's now time for us to take the reins. It's now us. For us to actually step forward as leaders. And I wonder if we're ready to be the messiahs, to be the leaders, to be the unique individuals that we came here to be. And to me, this conjunction that's happening between Jupiter and Saturn are saying, yes, it's time. And I know that I've been speaking about closing doors, letting go of what you don't want to take forward anymore. And I'm also seeing so many wonderful people that I get the privilege to meet who have within them this power, this inspiration, this solid knowing of who they are. And it may be that they don't necessarily shout from the rooftops of knowing who they are, but there's something that's driven them from within. And one of the most important things that happened when I met Rose was that she saw me. Any of you had that experience? I pray that when I meet some of you having soul readings or in seminars, you feel that I see you. Because even though I was brought up with a very esoteric family, and I've had many psychic readings, astrology readings, in all good faith, not many have actually seen me. Now, does that mean that I think I can't be seen or that I'm different? No, they would give me information, great information, but they wouldn't necessarily tell me something about myself. That might sound strange, but they would tell me about things that were happening in my life. But I didn't feel that they could read what was going on inside me. Do you know what I mean? That sense of not something negative, but something that I knew to be true. And I was waiting for someone to say, I see you. And so when I met Rose by fortuitous and friends telling me where she was and how to get to her, I felt seen. And I tell you that because she lived far out into the wilderness of New Zealand. And to get there, you had to go on a gravel path, a non-made up road. But to get to her took a few hours. And she always said that if you found me, then you were meant to find me. And when I walked through the door, she said, ah, you've arrived. And throughout our time that we knew each other, she would always say, but you remember this, don't you, Christine? And it was like, I think I do. And she would talk about, well, you know, some people are working on that level, but you and I are working on this level. And I just need to say, it wasn't an ego trip when I said yes. It was because I had a kind of nervousness of saying no to Rose, because she was so definite that you didn't necessarily disagree with her, even though you didn't fully know what she was talking about. But that sense of no being seen, being known, being loved, wasn't about what I knew intellectually. It was that feeling that someone saw my heart, someone felt my heart, someone resonated with me. And it didn't mean that I saw myself on the same level or as a Maori, etc. It was more just, ah, there you are. There, I recognize you. And that was such a wonderful feeling because it gave me a sense of, even though she didn't tell me who I was, that somehow I knew that I was in tune with myself. And maybe that's the biggest part of this. And I want to share some of her teachings with you so that you too will understand what it meant to be in her presence and what it means to be with her now. She was truly a grandmother, a mother to all the people of her culture, people all around her. And I've been watching some of the funerals that have been happening, and it truly was in honor of her. She was a teacher, she was an educator. She did so much to be bringing the Maori traditions, the language, keeping it going into the New Zealand society, education system, health system. And she was honored by the Queen, who recognized what she had been doing. And the last time I spoke to her, she was working hard to bring equal health services to the Maori people as much to the Pākehā, the other people in New Zealand. So she never gave up working. But she never gave up working on herself either. And years ago, she developed a brain tumor. And she knew of me as a doctor, and she knew what I was interested in, the message of disease. But she said, you know, that was one of the greatest gifts I ever had, was that brain tumor. And she said, I realized that as a teacher, a Maori teacher, I had some arrogance about thinking that I was better than the non-Maori teachers, thinking I knew more. And she said, that tumor, that brain tumor, allowed me to see that there wasn't the flow of love that I wanted, that flow of acceptance of other people that I taught, and that I saw that I was holding on to the arrogance, which I thought was just showing off, but actually was a feeling still of inadequacy. That's often what happens with our arrogance. It actually reveals where we're not feeling so secure. And so she worked with this energy of letting go of her arrogance, asking for forgiveness, and she literally did that physically from the teachers around her, and finding her own sense of strength and empowerment from how she felt about herself. And she went in for the operation for the brain tumor. And because she'd done her inner work and cleared the passageway, the surgeons, when they worked with her, found that already the tumor was beginning to disappear. And in fact, as soon as she finished the surgery and they said, well, you're going to be off work for a while, she said, no, I'm not going to do that. She was back in work within a few days because her healing had happened before the surgery. Does that make sense? That when we clear these passageways, these ways in which we've become separated from the truth, the light just pours in and heals us. Okay, so Rose to me was one of these great teachers who told stories, as many great Indigenous people do. Their storytelling ability is to teach us to understand the real ancient teachings of healing, education, etc. And she told another story, which I always remember, which was when the priest came round to see her after the birth of her child. And he said to her, okay, now we need to organize a baptism for your child. And she looked at him because Rose had never been part of any organized religion. And she said, what do you mean baptism? Well, we need to baptize your child to make sure that it's sacred and it's going to be safe in the eyes of God. And she looked at him and said, my child has just been carried in the sacred waters of my womb. What more can you do? That was Rose. Rose told it as it was. And she would share these stories with us. And one last story I will say is she did tell it as it was. And she would have this big stick and she would say, I will hit this stick on the floor once, but you never want me to hit it on the floor twice. And I never did want her to hit it on the floor twice because you knew that her wrath, her anger, she was not about, oh, I've got to be kind and sweet and never show my feelings. She was very much about showing my feelings is my truth. And we're going to get into this a little deeper. So with Rose's passing, I feel that it's my time to step up. And I'm not saying I can step up anywhere within her shoes, but she gave me that jolt to say, what am I holding back? What am I not doing? Because if I was seen, known, and loved, am I fulfilling my destiny, but not from a place of a mission or have to, but am I shining as much as I can? And I say the same to you. Are you shining? What's in you? If I said, I see you, I know you, I love you, or you are seen, you are known, you are loved, what changes would you make knowing that you're loved, knowing that there's nothing inside any of us that is wrong? What would you do differently? If you knew that if you're seen fully, and again, there is only love for you, where are we hiding? And we've spoken about this before. Where is there part of us that needs to come out of the shadows and really shine? And I think that I've put that message across very well in the past. What I want to say is nobody's going to do anything like you do. And this I'm going to continue to speak about. So just before I go on with Rose's teachings, just to confirm this wonderful energy that's coming together on December 21st between Jupiter and Saturn, we're going to see both of them now in early, very early Aquarius. They're just moving in this week. It sounds like people moving into a house, but they're just moving into that sign. What's been happening is that Jupiter and Saturn have been meeting for the last 200 years in earth signs. Now they're meeting in air signs. And this will mean that we're going from maybe more materialistic situations, trying to create things on a material way, to really expanding the mind, consciousness, communication skills, how we work together. And I think that the earth scenarios, if you think, they often called that the third, what they're calling it, the third revolution. We're coming into the fourth revolution. So we are now having a different type of revolution where we're seeing satellites in the sky. We're seeing desires to go to Mars, to the moon, to go on spaceships. So that all this is very Jupiterian, expanding, horizons we haven't explored before. This is wonderful. And then we're going to see people having different views on how telepathy, how we communicate, improving, changing communication. If we, we've seen so much change already. But just be mindful that Jupiter has this tendency to want to expand beyond maybe that which is steady. So we need to make sure that Saturn is there with Jupiter and saying, okay, don't go crazy. Let's make sure that this is going to work. And that is what's going to be coming forth for a good period of time. Jupiter will be in Aquarius for some time. Saturn takes much more longer to go through the signs. And I feel that we are going to see changes. We're going to see, wow, this is going to happen for us. We're going to have this new vaccine. We're going to do this. But be careful, because it's people are wanting, like I am, to see some light at the end of the tunnel. We're all wanting to see light at the end of the tunnel. But there may be false hope being shared with us. And I see that very much around the vaccine at the moment, where more and more is coming out that this vaccines, or certainly the ones that are being used at the moment, actually aren't taking us into an immune state, which is what we all want. Herd immunity, they all talk about. All we know is it may reduce your symptoms. We don't know if that's true, because nobody's as yet been challenged by COVID, having had the vaccine. We are being told that it doesn't reduce your infection, the ability for you to become infected, which is really what we all wanted in the first place. So there may well be that we're still going to have to wear masks and social distance. And I think not just maybe, but will be. So the vaccine has, as we've spoken about before, other purposes for being in our system. And I really encourage all of us to do some research to looking as, why would we want to keep being vaccinated if it's not going to stop the infection? And why do we want to keep being tested if we're asymptomatic? There's no purpose to that. So there are things going on that we now need to keep an eye on. And again, not anti-vaccine, just we need this information, and not to be so Jupiterian that we just rush into something without thinking about it. So using Jupiter and Saturn together. So let me just go through the 8 levels that Rose spoke from. And she saw our lives as an octopus with its 8 tentacles. Beautiful way of seeing it. If you don't know this, 8 is the magic number of creation, heaven on earth, earth on heaven. And therefore, you often see the spider woman creating the world. Again, 8 legs, octopus. Other, I've seen in Japan, it's an 8-legged dragon that also creates the world. So whenever you hear that, the 8-sided crystal or shape, it's always about bringing heaven onto earth. And that's why many of the indigenous stories about creation have an animal that has 8 limbs to it. So for Rose, the first limb, and I'm not going to be using the Maori words, I will just explain it from my own way of being. And I need to just make sure I keep looking at my notes here, because I don't want to misread her, is that first leg is that we are all spirit. We are all spiritual beings having this earthly life, but we're all earthly beings that are spiritualized. And last time we worked with connecting to the central sun of the central sun, connecting to the essence of who we are. And so reminding ourselves that that first leg is, I am spirit. I have a pure connection to the divine source, to the Godhead, to the goddess, whatever you want to call her, the great mother. That can never be taken away. And so just honoring ourselves as I am spirit. And if you want, please do continue to work with that essence of moving through all the different hearts, the heart, our heart, the heart of the earth, the heart of the sun, the heart of the galaxy. Those doors are all open. And whenever we feel that we're lost or we've lost that connection, just imagine going through those doors. Just quickly go there and then draw the light back into you. Because when we get depressed, we get dispirited. And dispirited means we've forgotten our source. We've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten that connection to spirit. And when we forget that we're spiritual beings, sometimes we need to do something that moves us around. As I often say, it's like lifting our spirits. We know that word in English. So what do you do to lift your spirits? Maybe you dance around, light a candle, talk to friends, go out for a run, whatever it is. But lifting our spirits means moving that air so that we get back in tune with spirit again. That's our first leg of our octopus, if I may use that word. Our second is that we are part of a culture. And Rose was very keen on that. She would say, I'd say, well, I'm not married. She said, no, you're not. But we all have a culture. And what's often happened is we get cut off from our culture. We go to another country and we say, don't be that culture anymore. But basically, that culture is the essence of who you are. It's like it's the juice that runs through us. So what's your culture? What is the culture you chose to be born into? So mine is a very English and Scottish energy. I have a lot of Celtic blood in me. Yes, I can relate to the Druids. And I have Viking blood in me, I'm sure. So that allowing myself to experience those qualities, sometimes eating the foods of my people or dancing or singing. And then what she says is when we recognize our own culture and we honor that culture, then we can honor other cultures. And of course, at this time, what's important for us is to not lose ourselves. And so it's in sense of when people are saying, oh, the cancel culture, they call it, which is forget who you are. No, remember who you are. Do whatever it is that reminds you of who you are, especially at this time of lighting. It might be that you're lighting up for Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever it is. Bring the light of your own culture into your world. Eat the foods of your culture. And what the Maoris would do is they put their noses together. You may well have seen that. It's got a hanging. And what you're basically saying is my culture and your culture may be different, but we are all one. And that's why they would walk on the earth with no shoes, because they would say, we come from this earth. We all come from this earth and we all come from the sky, but we come from different cultures. And that's what makes the tapestry of humanity. And the second, third one would be, I am body, I am sacred. And of course, I related so much to what Rose said about the sacredness of our body. And she would say, you know, that body is the keeper of our soul, of our spirit. And we must never forget that. So we must take care of this body. And I'm reading and becoming more aware of how we really are luminescent. We knew in Lemurian times, thousands, hundreds of thousands of years back, that how to actually fill ourselves with light from foods, from the trees, from the stars. But as we went into the Atlantean days, we became separated from that. And medications, again, I'm not against medication, not against vaccines, but every time we put something in that is not of life, we start to lose that luminescence. We start to lose that healthiness of our skin, of our bodies. So yes, take the different treatments your doctors may have given you, but if in any way possible, move towards being able to bring more light in so that those medications aren't needed quite as much. And that light comes from live foods. We're seeing more obesity, not because of people eating wrong foods, which is the truth, I should say. It's more that those foods that they're eating are dead. And so they become hungry. There's nothing in the food that feeds them. Even though it's got all those calories in it, the food is dead. So whatever we can do, getting out into nature, breathing in the fresh air, please. Being able to walk, to be able to breathe in the beauty of the surroundings of your world. And eating food that is as live as possible. I'm not going to say eat a certain type of food. I've been around healthy foods and they're dead, so-called healthy foods, and they're dead. You know what brings life into you. Eat the foods that bring life into you, light into you, that keeps our bodies healthy. And the fourth is, I am unique. So that, as Rose said, even though I'm part of a culture, even though I'm one with spirit, I am unique. And I want everyone to feel that they are seen and known and loved in their uniqueness. This is the Aquarian way, the way that says a self-responsibility, self-accountability, but actually self-expression. And that everybody has a unique story to tell. We are definitely going to have to change our way of communicating. We need to communicate in a way that just because your way is different from mine, it doesn't make my way wrong or your way wrong. And it's not about, oh, I'll listen to you, but I'm still going to go around my own way. We can learn so much from other people's uniqueness. We don't have to live it. We can say, I'm interested. I want to understand. Because there was always a part of us that can expand into that awareness that may be closed down. But to remember our uniqueness is important. And those who have plans for the Great Reset, the economists who are looking for 2030 as the year when everybody will be going along one passageway, receiving one paycheck, living in a certain way supplied by the government, it's not going to work. Because actually what makes me unique is not what money I receive. It's the inspiration that comes through me and the ability to express that inspiration, the ability to feel inspired, to be spontaneous, to be creative, and to do something that is mine. Isn't that true? To feel valued because I have something to value, not because, you know, it's just getting a job. I don't need a job. I need expression. Does that make sense? I love being valued for what I do, but I don't want to be receiving money because of doing nothing. So I feel that we're going to be communicating the importance of what it is to be humans, what it is that brings us alive, what it is that makes us unique. And I say today is the day to start that. Are you ready? The next leg of our octopus is that we're all connected to the universe. Once again, we're all connected to the ground beneath us, above us, within us. And Rose would honor every life form. She said, we all come from different directions. We may be going in different directions, but we are one. We are coming together. And she said that there is no word for an enemy in Maori. There are only quarrelsome friends, friends who make us quarrel. And when we feel agitated or uncertain because of someone, they're offering us a part of us that is needing to awaken. We are saying, where am I disconnected to something? And I remember being with Rose, and there was a man there who was a young man who had come to dinner, as often would happen in Rose. She would gather everybody together around meals. And this man would ask odd questions in my assessment, or he would talk more than listen, which really wasn't probably the best way to go with Rose. And she just sat there and listened and answered his questions. And when he left, I said, Rose, why did you let him do that? Because it was so unlike her to listen to someone talking about themselves for maybe a few hours. And she said, you know, I've never met anybody from his planet. It was really interesting. So I let him go on with what he was saying. So who are we meeting from other planets that may be quarrelsome friends, but actually that we're learning from them? We're experiencing an expansion of our own universe because of where they're coming from. And in this particular year, this 2020 year, we have learned that perhaps we are not on the same paths as people we thought we were on. Some friends or family members, people, maybe we groups that we've been connected with. And we have seen this split in the prism. And it means that we're saying, okay, this is the path I'm going on, and there's your path. And I think that that's happening more and more. And it's not a bad thing. It's not saying you're a bad person, I'm a bad person. It's just saying, we're actually going in different directions, and I wish you well. But I'm no longer being pulled into your triggers or your issues. I just wish you well. And know that if I am still triggered by someone else's opinions that are different from mine, then there's something for me to either unhook from or forgive or let go, and then I can move on. So the next leg was intellect. And I like this one because they actually call it in Mara the hidden mother. Our intellect is our hidden mother. Very interesting. And that they see the left and the right brains, the right brain more intuitive, the left brain more intellectual. But that they talk about how they cross across to each other. So the intuition is strong enough to be able to step across and understand or walk a mile in the moccasins of the intellect. And likewise, the intellect is strong enough to be able to cross across the corpus callosum and be able to understand the way of the intuition. It's the marriage of opposites. It's the coming together, but not only just coming together, but really saying, am I listening to my intuition and my intellect? Do they know each other? And we could call this the coming together on the left and right from the masculine and feminine. And Rose was very determined that when I would speak of empowering women or helping women, she would say, but the men are important as well. And I would always have to just remember that for Rose, men and women were equally important. And of course they are, but that the reason a woman can feel strong and in her power is because she has a strong partner with her, and similarly. And so when a woman is in her power, then a man will be honored to walk by her and be her sacred warrior, and vice versa. So both being in their power brings a strength to each. And I think that's the same as the intellect. Intellect and intuition coming together, saying we honor both sides and that together we can work as a whole brain. I like that idea. And Rose did have her great love, I will say, which was Joe down here on this earth. And Joe passed over a few years back, and she still communicated with Joe, but she dearly missed him physically because they were very much in love and supported each other down on the plane. But Rose would talk about her twin flame, and her twin flame or twin soul was for Rose a part of her, a male part of her that never came onto this planet. And she said that when she married Joe, she had to say, look, Joe, I'm here. I'll be your wife. I'll physically be with you and emotionally and everything else. But you need to know I'm always going to be connected and married to my twin flame. And I like that idea. I never quite went further with that myself. But the idea that there is a part of us, that twin part of us that's holding the flame for us to be here on this planet, and that that is our sacred partner in a spiritual sense. She also told this story that she was with a meditation group and said, oh, let's go and meditate and sit in this, watching the stars all night. And she said, oh no, Joe's waiting for me back at home and I'm gonna go back to Joe. That's where I need to be now. And that was Rose. She would just tell it as it is. So we have a few more legs here, two more. One is the emotions and the senses. And Rose, very much, or the Maori way of teaching was that all emotions are valuable. And I think that's a message I just keep wanting to put across. Emotion is energy in motion. It needs to be expressed. It needs to be shared. When we hold in our emotions, we are keeping a part of us separate. Again, we create a blockage to the flow of light coming in. So when we judge ourselves as being not okay, because that's really what it is, we judge ourselves that somehow our emotions are bad and that we must block them. When we create such blocks, we create blocks in the flow of healing energy that can come into our body. And that's part of my work. And so we have to ask yourself, it's not the emotion that's the problem, but it's the belief behind the emotion. So what do I believe, or what have I been taught, that I'm a good person if I never show anger, or I never cry, I'm a good martyr, or I've always got to be happy. So whatever those beliefs were, they're not just that's how I should be. They were often cemented into, and if I don't do that, I don't belong to this tribe or this church or this whatever. So I ask all of us, what beliefs are we holding about our emotions? And are those beliefs actually stopping that healthy flow of emotion that just says, when I express it appropriately, I feel healthy. And that can often start way back as a child when children are far more spontaneous with their feelings and then get shut down. So every emotion is good, especially if we express it and move on. Not so good if we've held on to it because of some belief. And the last leg, the eighth leg, is actually called the psychic power or the life principle. And Rose said it's really hard to actually translate this from Maori, but it's that flow of energy, that inner knowing that I'm talking about, because it's not just psychic abilities as in, oh, I can read someone. It's that light inside us. I think that's the best way I could describe it. It's that inner light, the light of your soul, the light of your uniqueness, but also the light of the spirit that connects. So Rose would say that when we die, that uniqueness and that divine light leave together. And in other words, we have both the divine within us and our unique aspect of that divine. And they work together. And that is our inner knowing. And it's also our inner loving, because love is not about an energy of emotion. It's about an energy of connection. So when we connect to that inner knowing, we are known. We are loved. We are seen. And so Rose would say, making sure that we carry that with us. And in that inner knowing, we say to ourselves, intuitively, I'm going to move this path. And intuitively, this would not be the right path for me. Or it would not be right to be around that person's energy or frequency. Again, it's not a judgment, it's a discernment. Knowing what feels right for us. And many a time, again, this is a deeper level almost than our intelligent intuition. It's a knowing of, no, this doesn't work for me. Thank you very much. I'm moving in another direction. Or yes, please, this works for me. And as I complete with those eight legs, and I bless Rose on her journey home, she has been much revered and celebrated, I know, as she has passed into the other worlds. I'm saying is that all of us are stepping up now because we are seen, known, and loved for who we are. And there's never been a more important time for us as individuals to walk towards the light or fill ourselves with light, knowing that nothing can stop us now because there is only light, and knowing that that light is increased until we are full of it because of who we are. And so I send out the light today. I send much love to you. I'll be speaking again next week, but please look up into the sky, watch Jupiter and Saturn come close, enjoy that, and recognize we are at a very special time in our history. And we are moving forward in a way that we have not done for hundreds of thousands of years. Many blessings now. Bye-bye.
The vibration of the heavens is air. Every Māori word has one or more of those vibrations. There's not one Māori word that doesn't have one or more vibrations. So that's why it's so effective in terms of getting rid of energy. That's why other people call on us, not only Indigenous people, but many people have come here and have said, you know, they want clearance.